We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Inside the Huddle, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good.
Yikes! It is inside the huddle.
Let's get the hell out of it.
I just woke up. I mean, it's energy drinks.
I got a lot of stuff going on back here. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Everybody, ahead and set this bang over here. And then me now. How about that? That's good.
Well,
stuff.
Everybody's awake in the noon hour.
It's turned down. You want to play it again?
I mean,
Wake up, Kansas City.
I'm nervous to hit play. Are we good? You sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Inside the Huddle, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good.
All right, we are inside the huddle. We're expecting to head back out to Arrowhead and hear from
Tyron
Matthew.
This is not a silent huddle.
No, it is not. We're ready to roll. Kansas City's ready to roll as well. Reminder, be listening in about 8 minutes or so for that Alex Gordon sounder. Your chance, just a few more days left to get qualified to win that autographed bat from Alex Gordon, and a $250 Royals team store from the Royals gift card, I should say, from the Royals team store. We're also going to have our NFL Week 7 NFL Survivor picks coming up. We'll see. Binkson, this is the first time you're in studio to hand out yours.
Very excited. Because so usually when I come in, it's at night, and I just kind of give it spec, and you always text me and say, who'd Barber pick?
That's right.
Where did Pete go?
I got to send out the tweet.
Which, by the way, I have a bone to pick with Pete because he did not ask that question. I'm very upset.
The two-point conversions?
Yeah, let him know.
Yeah.
Of course, he's insulted me as well in text. It goes both ways. So, but that's what you deal with when you deal with Pete.
talking about Pete Sweeney, of course, our Chiefs insider. No, I thought, you know, we mentioned at the end, I thought it was really interesting just EB saying that, you know, Bell, they actually think he can be, you know, Cody and I went back and forth, and he felt I was overblowing the impact Bell could have just as a mentor for Clyde. And I understand, I'm not saying they have to be best friends, but they're also really not competing in the grand scheme of things, because Bell is not going to be here next year. We know that. Bell is trying to earn a nice contract after this go. Clyde is still the long-term future at running back here. There's no dispute there, right? We get that. I don't think there is any of that, like any tension or anything. And it sounds like what's great for me be there is that it was Le'Veon Bell who first reached out to Clyde and kind of wanted to make sure that they were going to be good. That Clyde was all right, essentially, with Bell stepping in here. Didn't want to step on the toes of Clyde, and that he feels like it's something that they can help each other, and that Clyde's going to have a huge benefit from Bell being here.
It's huge because it's a mentor that's also a player on your team. It's much different when things come from coaches. And I've said it's different when your parents tell you things. And then you might get more knowledge from your brother or sister that just went through it than what your parents say. But Le'Veon is not just a good blocker. When he was with Pittsburgh, he was an elite blocker. And Dan Orlovsky, a couple years ago, never forget, he was on Good Morning Football, and they asked him to say, who's the best blocking back in the NFL? And this is at the prime of Le'Veon. And he goes, Le'Veon Bell. He said, you can have superstars like DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, but this guy loves to block. Again, it's that football IQ. And having him mentor, that stuff's real. And what Bieniemy said, that stuff's legitimate, the mentoring that guys get. You don't think that Alex Smith, that was a nice mentor for Patrick Mahomes. I think we can agree on that. Having Terrell Suggs in here was good. Hey, the guys noticed. Terrell Suggs brings a notepad to meetings. Maybe I should do this. Terrell Suggs was showing them things that he noticed to help with their pass rush. Those are legitimate things. And having somebody that's been there and done that, and again, Clyde's blocking got better. EB talked about it. Andy Reid talked about it in the offseason. But the one thing at LSU, he wasn't asked to do it. They did these 5-set protection plans for Joe Burrow, and he wasn't really asked to do it. Like, Clyde wasn't that guy. He was a receiver out of the backfield and running back. Of course, 1,000 yards, 50 receptions. No one's ever done it, but wasn't asked the ball. That means he can't do it, but he wasn't asked to do it as much. And Jamal Charles got better at blocking because of, well, no, that I'm offensive sure, coordinator sure we have, Eric Bieniemy, when he was running back's coach, developed into that guy. It's not easy. That was Darwin Thompson's knock last year in training camp. And then against the Bengals in preseason game one, he had a deflating block. He's like, all right, the message is getting through. But having Le'Veon Bell and saying, all right, listen here, Clyde, because you know Clyde grew up watching Le'Veon Bell. You know that he sit there, just like Juan Thornhill talked about watching the Honey Badger and mm-hmm. what he did. Clyde knew who the best running backs are. These running backs do study running backs in the National Football League for their styles, what they're doing to get open. That is really a thing you see a lot in college football, is them looking at NFL running backs. So I would say Clyde probably had a pretty good knowledge of who Le'Veon Bell is. And now he can ask him questions. Again, you have a great offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy that was a tremendous, the best running backs coach in the National Football League, because it didn't matter who was up, they were ready to go with him. And now Dela McCollough, and then you have Le'Veon Bell in that room. That is huge. Like Darwin Thompson, the young guy, you can't get a whole bunch out of him. DeAndre Washington, you know, it's cut around this league, been around this league. What kind of knowledge is he imparting to him? Darrell Williams, you know, still a young guy, the third down back, but having Le'Veon Bell here with the experience he has and being asked to block for a guy like Big Ben, which they had no complaints about Le'Veon Bell. They didn't like him sitting out the year in Pittsburgh, but pass blocking has never been a question for Le'Veon Bell. That's a real football player that'll get in there. It's one thing to score touchdowns, catch passes. It's another thing to be willing to block, and he is.
And we still will see if Bell is active come Sunday afternoon in Denver. We shall see. And then the following week, we keep mentioning it, but I think it'll be an interesting storyline if Adam Gase is still in New York. But the Jets and Chiefs will be that following week on November 1st. And you know, to your point a little bit about the backfield and kind of how young the backfield was, and you know, before Damian Williams opted out, and not that he's an old player, but he had some experience, obviously. The plan was never to be with Damian Williams and Clyde that Clyde was going to get 90% of the carry. Like, people forget that Damian Williams was still going to have a role in this offense, which is why when their rumors were out there about the Chiefs going and getting Bell, I didn't think, and I still don't think it impacts much with Clyde in a negative way in terms of losing a bunch of snaps or anything. And there might be a situation around the goal line where maybe that is where Bell's going to get the carry. I think it's more Darrell Williams on third down is where you're going to start to see Bell come into play.
It was the position group without that veteran leadership. Clearly, you look at the secondary, it's the Honey Badger. He's the veteran that's going to impart knowledge. Defensive line, we've seen Chris Jones develop into the guy that's willing. Offensive line, you have guys that have been around the block. Mitch Schwartz, Eric Fisher, impart that wisdom on the young and upcoming guys like a Nick Allegretti, so to speak. But you look at the wide receivers. Well, it's Sammy Watkins. This guy's been there and done that in the National Football League, a tremendous player when he catches the ball. Well, I think he's even tremendous when he doesn't catch the ball, that doesn't get noticed. But every position group kind of had that aging player. And Mahomes got it from Alex Smith. That was the wisdom that Alex Smith imparted to him. But the running back room was really kind of an inexperienced group. And unfortunately, it's a very important thing because you're protecting Pat Mahomes and you're that last line of defense. You're in there for pass pro. And I've always said that Andy Reid's three big things. Can you block? Can you catch? Can you run? I asked Trez Paylor that the other night on the Trez Paylor show. Three attributes of running backs: catching, running, and blocking. What's more important? He goes, hey, without a doubt, it's pass protection. And probably Andy Reid, if he had that chance, and if I ever have a chance, I will ask him that, how much he values that pass protection, because that is the last line of defense. And if you noticed, they used Kelce more in that role. They had him in the H-back role.
They did, yep.
More of the block. That's George Kittle-style football they had Kelce doing. Again, that inverted wishbone. They had Kelce out there in that. They had Tyreek Hill as the deep back, and they had Darrell Williams. But they valued that blocking tremendously from that running back position, and that's something – that I heard about Le'Veon. Oh, look at his yards per carry average. It's gone down. Well, look at his catches. But not only that, look at what's not in the stat book. Look at what's not in Pro Football Reference. The blocking. That's like the biggest reason he's here.
Yeah, this was a guy they were able to land because they didn't have to go through the waiver wire. You know, reports were they wanted Adrian Peterson, they wanted Leonard Fournette, perhaps, but you were dealing with waivers in those scenarios. And this was the guy they were able to just go out and get. And based on Bell's comments yesterday that you heard here during the show, sounded like he said, yeah, even though Chris Jones was doing some talking, some convincing, he's like, ultimately, he's like, I kind of wanted to come here anyway.
And I'm going to stay away from the thunder and lightning, too. I did that once, Alex. You probably remember back in the day, Peyton Hillis. Because he had such a good preseason.
Madden cover boy, Peyton Hillis.
Like the horn and the hog with Jamal Charles, you know, the long horn and the hog. So, but I'm trying to stay away from that one.
Coming up next, we'll continue to stay inside the huddle. Expected to go right back out to Arrowhead and hear from Chief Safety Tyrann Mathieu. We'll also have our Week 7 NFL Survivor Picks.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Steven Serto with you, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp the rest of the week. Cody will be back with us on Monday. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll head out to the phones and welcome in Paul Charchi, in charge of GuillotineLeaks.com, our weekly conversation getting set for Week 7 of fantasy football, and a sleeper that you might want to be stashing if he's available out there on the waiver wire, I guess post-waiver wire now for most fantasy football leagues. By the way, congratulations also to DJ and Baser. He is today's qualifier for that Alex Gordon autographed bat plus a $250 Royals Team Store gift card. If you're looking for some Royals merchandise, of course, the Royals Team Store has got that for you. Open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Holidays right around the corner. Outerwear, accessories, jerseys, blankets, you name it. They got it out there. Next week, the winner will be announced. The only guy, I think, 2 more days or so to have a chance to qualify. Another opportunity today. Be listening for the Alex Gordon sounder during the drive at 4:45. Well, Bank, each and every Thursday at 12:30 on this show, we give you our Survivor League picks. Survivor League presented by Own KC. Cody out today, but he did text us his pick for the week. And a refresher for everybody, who's around, who's got strikes. So Carrington's been out for a while, and Fesco has been eliminated. But before we do that, let's go right back out to Arrowhead. Tyrann Mathieu is now ready to talk.
Said that they're well aware that they've lost 9 straight against the Chiefs, and it's actually been a topic of discussion. How often do you guys as a team discuss that winning streak against the Broncos?
We don't really talk about that at all, actually, against any team, rather. I mean, we could win 20 straight. I think it's all about the next game. You know, how can we transition, you know, from one game to the next, whether it was a bad or a good game? You know, how can we learn from it, improve from it, and then move to the next game?
Go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Tyrann.
Hey.
Spats mentioned the fact that your guys' fight as a team, or at least as a defensive unit, is complacency. And he mentioned that he maybe hasn't seen it, but it's still something he wants to constantly remind you of. Just wondering how important you feel like that is, especially on a team that won the Super Bowl last year. And also, did you feel like that was a factor at all in what you saw against the Raiders?
I think that's always a challenge. You know, anytime you have a successful team, championship team, you know, and then most of those guys come back, you know, to that very same team. I think the challenge is always trying to overcome that complacency, overcoming the feeling that you've done enough, that you've accomplished enough. So, but we got a lot of great leaders on our team. We got a lot of guys that love ball. I wouldn't necessarily equate, you know, the Raiders game to us being complacent. I thought that those guys showed up, played harder than us. You know, they made the plays that counted, and we didn't. So, you know, I think we've tried our best to learn from it. But I think obviously that game, that feeling, you know, is still in the back of our heads. You know, we're trying our best to, you know, avoid that.
We've got 3 more. We'll go right down the line. Todd, Adam, and then Pete to close us out. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Tyrann, in the Buffalo game, there was quite a few defensive penalties, pass interference, holding, things like that. Not to talk about officials too much, but what's the challenge been like with the number of different guys you've had come through your defensive backfield this year and trying to adjust out there on the field and avoid those type of penalties, and how tough they can be on a team during a game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough sometimes, you know, especially, you know, when you're, we play the kind of style of defense that we play. You know, we like to press man. We like to get our hands on receivers. We like to be physical. We're going to try to, you know, fight it our best to keep our hands low, to keep our hands, you know, where they're supposed to be. But, you know, it's a long football season. I think in our minds defensively, you know, we're gearing up for playoff football, for the physicality of that. And so, you know, I actually like the way that our corners play. You know, obviously you deal with a lot of, you know, external things as well. But, you know, just try our best to control what we can control, play to our levers, keep our hands low, and, you know, hope that, you know, some of these referees just let us play sometimes.
So next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Tyron, because of injuries and suspensions, you guys haven't been a hole in the secondary all season long. Once Legarius comes back, how much are you looking forward to that, to seeing what you guys can do when you are, you're at full strength back there?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with the guys that we do have, I feel like guys are really stepping up, you know, playing good defense. You know, they're competing really well. You know, like I said, they're challenged at the line of scrimmage really well. I think once we can, once we're able to get, you know, Legarius back, you know, we're going to be able to be, do a lot more different things. You know, we're going to be able to, you know, obviously get more athletes on the field, get more speed on the field, you know, disguise a lot more of our coverages. I think it'll give us opportunity to really, you know, have three bump run press type cornerbacks on the field to really challenge the offense. So, just looking forward to him, you know, just obviously getting back healthy. But I know once he comes back, you know, I think he's going to definitely put his hand in the pile, you know, and help us finish this season out strong.
We'll go last to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Tyron. It's another year with Spags where you're able to move all over the place, box, slot, occasionally free safety. How do you feel that this system maximizes what you bring to the table?
Well, I think, you know, just from a mental standpoint, I think it just brings out the best in me. You know, I'm able to do a lot of different things. You know, I'm able to move around a lot of different spots, free some other people up, you know, and even at times, you know, be able to free myself up. So, you know, I just got to stay patient with it. You know, I think a lot of the work I do, you know, doesn't show up on a stat sheet, but it will later on in the season. So I just look forward to it. You know, I enjoy it. Obviously I like moving around. I like, you know, not being in one spot, but I think just this defense brings out the best in me and, you know, a lot of other players, you know, on our defense.
Tyron, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That was Chief Safety Tyron Matthew out at Arrowhead. He was asked about, you know, this, it's true, the secondary hasn't been at full strength yet. It was early in the season. It was Breland still suspended. Then it was Ward had the hand injury. And then unfortunately, it's now Legarius Sneed's got the clavicle. Hopefully he can come back later in the season. And so he was talking about, yeah, they haven't had that chance. And also feeling like the physicality, and was asked about the penalties that they've had in Breshad Breland and
they've
Ward.
They've had 40. It's fourth in the NFL.
Yeah, there's been a lot of grabbing, a lot of holding. Some of them have been legit. Some haven't. But said, you know, look, they're a physical team. They're going to play physical. He feels like that prepares them for the physicality that's needed in the postseason, and also would help a little bit maybe if they get, you know, if some of the calls weren't called as stringent going forward as well.
Yeah,
They're going to play physical. They're going to get, it's not like suddenly all of a sudden that Breshad Breland's just going to change the way he's playing and not get called. The way he plays, there's going to be games where he gets called for multiple holding calls or PIs. It's going to happen, and it's frustrating, but it's going to happen. It's still the way he can help the team the most though with playing physical. Like, that's still his style. Stradarius Ward's a physical corner as well.
I think he's the Sammy Watkins of defense is Breshad Breland. Keep in mind, he brings that attitude with him. He's a tough guy. What, he had 18 tackles in the postseason last year, had that pick in the Super Bowl. Like, he likes to mix it up a little bit. That's what I've always liked about him. But obviously, Tyron, you know, he said he had 91 snaps last year on defensive line, 31 at outside corner. That's for his size, that's unbelievable. Of course, those were not to be a run stuffer, you know, like what the defensive linemen do. But that was asked to pressure the quarterback, and they used him a lot in five different places last year. I mean, safety wasn't where he was most of the time.
So always good to hear from Ty. And coming up at 1:30, if you missed our conversation with Chiefs wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, we'll have that for you again. Each and every Thursday, we have a different Chiefs player that joins us exclusively at 10:30 and 1:30 here on Cody and Gold. We were about to get to our NFL Survivor League picks, week 7. So as I was saying, where we're at, CDOT's eliminated. Fesco's eliminated.
Should we give CDOT two more outs? Wouldn't it be interesting just to see if he had some?
That's still not enough.
Well, I know, but wouldn't it be interesting to see if CDOT had two more
just
outs?
Just to see how long it would make
it? Yeah.
Maybe next year that might have to happen.
No, I would actually welcome it.
You welcome him back in? Well, he hasn't been picking in weeks.
Well,
next year.
I would welcome CDOT back in because I always go the opposite.
You can talk to him about that one. You can talk to Speck on that one. I don't know if you're going to have many takers on that. So they are both eliminated.
Make it interesting.
Strikes currently, Serta, myself, Rob, Ryan, Sean, believe that is everybody that has a strike. And Bink, you're in studio with us for the first time for this as well. So
yeah,
where,
I don't have any,
where are we going
any,
now?
Any
now
any
it's getting tricky because some people have used certain teams. I've used the Colts, the Bucks, the Raiders, the Browns, and the Chargers. That means I have the Buffalo Bills still available. This is the easiest pick I've had all
year.
You've
been by far the luckiest person I have ever seen.
I have a strike. I have a strike.
Oh, man. That Bucks Chargers game, you were sweating. You were tweeting out about hating the Colts.
I was.
Because they were going to let you down.
I had the Colts last week, too. It was nervous.
But you handled it better than Alex.
Yeah, but Phil's got a noodle arm. So when they get down by three touchdowns or four touchdowns early on, I think Phil was bringing them back.
I think you are correct that each one of my picks I've had to sweat, because I'm going back. Week one, I picked the Raiders. Remember, they had to get a fourth down stop on, at the time, Christian McCaffrey.
Carolina.
Right? Okay, that was week one. Then week two, I went the Raiders, with the Browns, and that was a Thursday night game. We didn't know about the Browns at that time. And then I went with the Bucks. They had to come back from 21-4 or 21-3, 24-1, something like that. Right? And then we had the Chargers, who got the strike for me. And then the Colts last week, a little bit of sweat. So I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. This is the easiest sweat-free
week. Have you
ever
heard of Nick Wallenda?
He's
a tightrope walker. That's exactly what you're doing.
We're surviving, man.
You're the Nick Wallenda
NFL survivor, and we're still surviving. One strike, but we're still surviving double elimination. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills this week, guys. I have to. They're available.
Yeah, it's the safest pick of the week.
Saved them for a reason. This should be, I feel like the next 3 weeks I mapped out beautifully. I can go the Bills against the Jets. I can go to the Chiefs against the Jets next week, and I can go New England against the Jets the following week.
Why don't
I feel
you
like
live dangerously again?
No,
why don't you try to pick that Steelers Titans game?
No, I got a strike, Bink. Where are you going? Who have you used so far? Looks like you've used the Bills, so I know you're not doing that.
It was week one. I used the Bills. Very strategic. I'm glad last week I used the Dolphins. And a lot of people end up using the Dolphins around here as well. It's one of those things. Might as well use them because you got to use them at some point.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to, but yes.
I have used the Bills, Packers, Colts, Rams, the Ravens, and the Dolphins. I'm staying with below average football teams. And I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, I hope they screw you over
Vegas likes them, though. It's an 8-point spread, the third highest spread in the NFL this week. Vegas obviously doesn't do things to lose money. They have the spread on this game. Couple things. One, they've been playing competitive football. Two, the Jaguars got spanked by the Lions.
They have one win, Bink.
We could get people around here to maybe give the Lions a more competitive game than what they did. They have to travel across country. Chargers had a bye week.
Yes.
Yes, they make me nervous, but the Chargers, I believe, because this is a hard week.
I hope you get
week.
Your first strike.
This is a tough week. Of course you do, but I'm not.
Okay. Serta, where are you going?
Browns, baby.
The Browns.
Yes, they looked bad last week. I didn't expect them to beat the Steelers. You know, Baker Mayfield has never had a productive game against the Pittsburgh Steelers so far in his career. It was a bad game. He was dealing with a rib injury. Had some issues, running game couldn't get going. They're playing the Bengals this week. The Bengals secondary actually better than you think it is. Their run defense is one of the three worst run defenses in the NFL. Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson are going to run all over the Bengals. Kevin Stefanski is going to run the ball 40 times in this game.
Don't forget how good
Cleveland,
that Colts defense
favorite.
Is. Joe Burrow, baby. Joe Burrow.
I hope they jump out in front like they did against the Colts, except this time it comes back to bite Sert a little bit against
the
Browns.
Let the Jets beat the Bills. I will take you to dinner if that happens.
If
you're tweeting out, what are you doing, Buffalo?
It's not going to happen, so we're okay. But
if
it does,
I'm taking you to
dinner. It's not going to happen. I will be so upset because I have been living, as you said, on the edge a little bit. And the 1 week that I take what seems to be the surest lock ever, if the Bills blow it, they're not. The Bills are not going to lose
to
the Jets.
Let's go Jets.
The Bills are 13-point favorites.
Jets.
Serta's pick of the Cleveland Browns, by the way, the latest line, they're only 3.5-point favorites. That is a risky pick. Serta might be eliminated
this week.
Because
their secondary's bad, and they think Burrow's going to be able to throw. Yeah, right. Myles Garrett is going to destroy Joe Burrow on Sunday. Their pass rush still very, very good.
You sure those of you happy?
The Bengals have no offensive protection at all.
Those of you that signed up and picked Serta, you thought he had a chance to win you a little grand or so. You thought that was going to happen. That's a little dangerous now. Text line says, can I change my Survivor pick? Serta's trying to sabotage.
No, the Browns are going to win. They're already a good pick this week. I don't care what the line says.
Serta already picked the Jets this year. So if you get out and your picks are there, you got out on the Jets and Browns.
But that's,
you have nobody but to play.
That's my
blame
only
yourself.
Questionable pick, and I was feeling a little saucy, and so I took the Jets for the hell of it, and I don't regret it at all. It was fun. It was a thrill ride, even though it didn't work.
So Joe Burrow had over 300 yards against the third best defense in the NFL last week
in
Indianapolis.
And they lost.
They did.
He's already got four 300-yard games because they throw 60 times a game. He's just accumulating stats.
It's the
Battle of Ohio. They're not good stats. It'd be crazy if he was throwing for 500 yards on 50 attempts every week. He's throwing for like 330 on 52 attempts a game.
I love how this is setting up this week. People, you know, I got the safe pick in the Bills. We've got you on the Chargers, Bink, who are 7.5-point favorites against the Jags. We got Surt on Cleveland. There's an opportunity for people to be eliminated, everybody to level the playing field. The morning show, which again, only two people making picks now on that show, Ryan and Kling. Ryan went with the Eagles tonight, a little Thursday night football. So far, those of us that have picked a Thursday night game are 2-1. So Surt missed on the Jets. I hit on Cleveland. Carrington, believe it or not, did hit on one at one point in time and had Cleveland early in the season. So Kling going with the Chargers, but Ryan going with the Eagles tonight against the Giants.
Feeling. Wachowski said he had a gut feeling. Let's be honest. Ryan Wachowski's gut ever let it wrong? Seriously.
I have a bet on the Eagles money line. So I like money more than just winning the Survivor League. So I actually hope the Eagles do win tonight.
Hey, free C-Dot.
No. Not going to happen.
Would that be more fun, though, if he was still...
Nah.
Getting strikes.
Got eliminated.
Like, if you let him back in and he still was out, like, do it.
It can't happen. So there you go. Our Survivor Week 7 picks here presented by OwnKC. I'm going with the Bills. Binks going with the Chargers. Surter with the Browns. And Cody, by the way, texted in. He is going with the Chargers this week as well. So,
by the way, Cody.
Two people, the Chargers.
How are the Browns a worse pick than the Chargers?
The Chargers are at home coming off a bye week.
Bye week. They're talking about benching Minshew. They got spanked by the Lions.
Minshew.
The Jags are playing terrible right now.
They are, but they can turn things around here.
I would rather take that risk than the Battle of Ohio and seeing what Joe Burrow can do against the Browns.
We'll see what the afternoon decides to do. Sean's got a strike. Rob's got a strike. They have their picks coming up in the 4 o'clock hour of their show this afternoon. And then we'll see Pete Sweeney, Kent Swanson, Sean Barber. I have a feeling that Pete's going with the Bills. He's one of the only other people like myself that have the Bills even available this week. We'll see. We'll find out.
Which would be going for the Jets so much if Pete went with you.
Go Jags.
I'd probably go buy a Jets.
Go Jags.
Shirt.
Go Bengals.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Big Jags and Bengals.
It's bound to happen, man.
We shall see.
Blind squirrel finds that nut once in a while.
We shall see. There's our Survivor League picks. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
All right, so this was thrown out there on Twitter yesterday from a user, the Mr. Cam W, and it went viral. And he asked the question, so we'll steal it from him. Someone just gave you $1 billion to build a theme park based on any film. What are you building? I'm asking you, Bink, and Surt, and of course the text line as well, 913-576-7610. This is, I'll give you mine first. It's pretty simple. You guys know I'm a big James Bond fan, so it would be pretty cool if there was, and I know it says film, not series, but we'll just find. If you make me pick one, I'll pick GoldenEye. But like, could you imagine if there was a James Bond theme park? That would be awesome. That's my answer. $1 billion, build a James Bond theme park. It would be incredible.
I would go, gosh, it's a tough one, man. I'm not Mr. Movie, as you guys know. I'd probably do a Christmas Vacation theme park and have, like, Cousin Eddie rides and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, tease Cousin Eddie or something like that. Carve the turkey. Okay. Sled down that hill with that nine-lucrative furniture varnish.
I just want part of the... That's good. I was thinking another, like a not a ride, but an attraction for the Bond theme park. Remember Mr. Odd Job? He's got the hat.
Yeah.
Right? You would have an attraction where you could sling the hat.
Now, Bond would be cool. Serta probably has the best thing.
I'm guessing he's going to go with something Avengers related. I'm just a hunch.
See, yeah, but they're already building an Avengers theme park. There's already a Star Wars one. I don't know exactly where it's at, but Disney's building one. There's already been like promotional videos for it.
Wow.
There's a Harry Potter one, too, that already exists. I don't know. This is tough. Mine's going to be something weird.
Where is this Avengers one that you're talking about, though? I figured you were going to say something like Captain America related.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I don't know exactly where it's at.
Text line. While you're thinking of one, Surta, the text line says... someone says...
I think it's just a Disney World. It's like a separate section.
Okay. Because the Star Wars theme park within Disney World is unbelievable. The videos I've seen for that,
Avengers Campus is in California.
Oh, so it's at Disneyland.
Yes, okay. Disneyland.
Jurassic Park would be cool, though. Have, like, a raptor out there chasing you.
Don't they already... Does that not already exist?
It probably does. I don't think the raptors can get you. But.
Someone from the 913 says Fast and the Furious, which I saw an article today that they actually are going to finally stop making that movie after the next one, they claim. We'll see. I'll believe
it's
that.
After the next three.
Is it the third? Oh, the 11th one?
There's three more that they're going to do before, I think.
Three more?
How about any given Sunday theme
I already park? Confirmed the next one's going to space.
What think? What theme park would you make out of any given Sunday?
You could be Willie Beeman.
What?
My name is Willie.
I was thinking like
Willie Beeman.
I was thinking like a sci-fi themed one, like Dune or Blade Runner. That would be awesome, but you're catering to a really small subsection of fans.
Indiana Jones. I think there's an Indiana Jones ride, if I remember right.
That'd be sweet, too. Those movies hold up.
Universal Studios, I think, already has that.
What about The Running Man? Remember that movie with Schwarzenegger where like they were different people were going after him? It was like a reality show, but they were out
there killing. Total Recall, on Mars.
Cool. Oh, this is a good one.
Build it on Mars.
From the text line, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, that would be pretty incredible.
That's what C-Dot said.
I don't know if C-Dot's texting in. Somebody else agrees with C-Dot. Yeah, I saw C-Dot thought it was his answer would be that as well. There's some good ones. Lord of the Rings, theme park, Bad Boys 2. Someone said you'd have helicopter rides, car chases, shootouts, and a tandem Miami PD dance show. All would be part of the theme park. You guys can keep those coming in. $1 billion, if you had $1 billion and you could build a theme park off of any film, what would it be? Jumanji's another one.
Some of the people on text are just texting in messed up movies that do not need their own theme parks.
The Purge? So I don't think we need a Purge.
Clockwork Orange does not need its own theme park.
Probably not. There you go. That's the random question of the day. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get some fantasy advice from our guy, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. And something that the NFL's doing more this year, and something that the Chiefs might want to be thinking more about as well. We'll tell you what that is next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.